Hello, Lighthouse Church family. Pastor Joel here. Just wanted to say thank you for tuning into another of our sermon podcasts. Hope there's a word for you today. Now, let's jump into your weekly dose of godly teaching for you.
Thank you, Father, for giving your Son. Hallelujah. I just want to say thank you for all of you that helped out this last Saturday. And there was a number of individuals that came this past Saturday that were living out in the streets, literally, coming in from the bush. They have no place to be. And there was a ministry that took place Saturday morning. I just want to thank all of you that took part in that one way or another to help those that are less fortunate. When Jesus came 2,000 years ago, there was no room for him. There was no place for him. And he was born in a stable. And I don't know about you, but the last time you've been in a barn with cattle, it has a certain odor. Yeah. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This last week, there were a number of cards that went out. I want to thank those of you as well that gave for Christmas, the Christmas blessing. And as a result of that, there was around 30 that were able to receive, whether it was individuals, families, couples, were able to be blessed at this time. And so I want to thank you that gave. There was over $5,000 that came in just in the last number of weeks because you care. One of the things that I wrote on the card that went out was just a phrase, "May his name," regarding Isaiah 9 verse 6, what I just finished reading, "may his name become reality in your life, in Jesus' name." May his name, according to what it says here, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. May that be reality in your life. Let that be reality in your life. Of the increase of his government, of his rule, and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal, the heart, the desire of the Lord of hosts will perform this, his rule. Sometimes we pass over the details. In the King James Version, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And then there's a colon there. In the New King James Version, the colon isn't there. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," was written around 700, between 730 and 750 BC. That's almost 750 years before Jesus was born. This was prophesied, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," colon. And this colon, and I believe it was my brother Andrew that had mentioned regarding punctuation in the English language that the colon is like an equal sign in math. So whenever you come across a colon in the King James Version, especially, because in the New King James Version, it's a semicolon, but in the King James Version, it's a colon, is like an equal sign. So this child identifies Jesus. It says, unto us a son is given. So not just a child, but a male child identifies Jesus as fully God and fully man. And there's an equal sign here. In fact, there's another equal sign that follows that. It says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And there's another colon. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Equal signs. So in math, if A is equal to B is equal to C, then they're all equal. A is equal to B, B is equal to C, A is equal to C, C is equal to A. And so these things come together very uniquely. So this child is born, unto us a son is given, Jesus is A, is equal to his government shall be upon his shoulder. He's going to take the weight, the responsibility, the authority of overseeing the things that will be, the things that exist even now. You may say, Pastor Dave, is God in charge and ruling? The biggest thing that God has to deal with, the hardest thing that God has to deal with, is not sin, is free will. The choice that you and I have, the opportunity that you and I have to surrender and submit to the government of Jesus Christ, of his rule in our lives personally. So all of us, the biggest thing that God is dealing with at this time in this planet and with all the things that are going on, the darkness of this time, and it is very dark, it would seem, yet in the midst of all of that is light, the light of Jesus Christ, and the light that would shine through us as well as we submit to the rule of Jesus Christ in our lives. It's a choice that every single person on this planet that has ever existed makes. Am I going to submit to the government? And the government shall be upon his shoulder to take responsibility even of your life and of my life. I just say, thank you, God, that I don't need to have everything figured out. I don't need to have everything sorted out. And even when there's difficult times and there's struggles and there's all kinds of situations happening, thank you, Lord, that I am under the rule of Jesus Christ. I am under his rule because I have chosen and we choose to be under his rule or not. The government, the rule shall be upon his shoulder. That's the B part of it. A, Jesus Christ. His government, his rule is B. So A is equal to B is equal to C. There's that colon. There's two colons there. And that C part of it says, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we'll get to that in a moment. A child was born, a son was given, Jesus Christ. 1 John 4, verse 9 says, in this, the love of God was manifested, was shown toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Jesus came that we might have life through him if we choose that. If we allow for him to bring us life, to give us life, to have governance over us, and it's good. It is good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father gave his only begotten Son, that if we believe in him, we will have everlasting life. In Matthew 1:21, it says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. You ever wonder what Jesus means? I know a lot of people, they just swear and they use his name in vain when they say Jesus Christ. When there's an issue or there's a problem, Jesus Christ. Jesus means Jehovah, the one that is self-existent. He's always been and is and always will be. There's no beginning, there's no end to Jehovah. Jehovah is salvation. Christ means the anointed one. Jesus Christ, the self-existent one. Jesus is salvation, the one that was anointed to come. And he came. What's in a name? What's in a name? What's the first thing that comes up, do you think comes up in another person's mind when your name is brought up? It's like, I wonder what they think about me. I wonder what they think. Sometimes people will say or come to you and they say, you know what? And they'll say things that are very positive about you. Is that what is said about you? A name. His name. Jesus, his name has power. In Mark 16, the last chapter of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the last few verses, says, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. The right hand of God. God the Father is in heaven. He is here. He is omnipresent everywhere and anywhere at any given time. And Jesus is on his right hand. It's my right hand. Jesus is sitting on his right hand. All authority has been given to him. You might say, what power does Jesus' name have? We recognize this part of Jesus being Lord in our lives, ruling over us. And part of that ruling has to do with us totally submitting to his lordship willingly. Because I'll tell you right now, God will never force you to surrender or submit to him. Never. We were made in the image of God with free will. And this thing of governance, as we surrender and submit, the power of Jesus' name. Is there power in Jesus' name? Acts chapter 3, it gives a situation, and the setting is the stairs leading up to the temple. And the temple at that time was probably one of the most beautiful structures that was in existence. It wasn't as beautiful as Solomon's temple. That temple had been totally destroyed in 586 BC, but it was rebuilt and it was extended. And the setting is on the stairs leading up to the temple. And there's a man there that has been lame his entire life. He was born that way. They didn't have set up like we have today, where you might get some assistance, some government assistance, if you have a handicap or some disability. So he was begging. And so how he got to the stairs, I don't know. Maybe his friends brought him early in the day, and he would stay there all day. And we start to see those kinds of things, even here in Niagara Falls, where people are wanting to have something. And so I'm sure as people are going by, he's probably got a little cup there or something, and people are putting in the coins. And maybe at some point, it's like, man, I've been doing this my entire life, 40 years of age, and probably as a little boy, and then as a teenager and a young man, always there just to survive. And probably going through the routine thousands of times, he decides, probably at that particular day, it's like, oh, it's just another day. Just another day. And the cup is out, and he's probably just got his head down, and the cup is out. Maybe he's holding it like this, and he's just looking down. It's like, yeah, I've been here before. This is not good. How long will this be? And Peter and John, about to go into the temple with this man asking for alms, for help. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us. Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And probably the scenario, what was being played out, it was like, this guy is just freaking out about the fact that he's able to walk, he's able to stand, he's able to shout, as he's leaping and praising God, that he's got some mobility. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look at us so intently? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, who was ruling the governor, the man that was in charge by the Romans. He had been placed there. You denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." He died on the cross, but God raised him from the dead, of which we are witnesses. We have seen him alive. And his name, now listen carefully, and his name through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. To be able to make a man that had been lame his entire life, in Jesus' name, I don't have silver and gold. What I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. The power of Jesus' name. Can he be something to us? As we recognize Jesus Christ, as we submit and surrender to his governance in our life, can there be things happening in our life through his name, by faith in his name today? I don't know what you put your trust in. I don't know where your trust is in. Your trust may be in another person. It may be in the government. It may be in yourself. That's what I put my trust in. Today, if your trust isn't in Jesus Christ, that you would place your trust even in his name, Jesus Christ. And I surrender and I submit to your lordship. You might wonder, why did he come? Jesus or Jehovah is salvation. Salvation from what? It says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person on this planet currently, there is not one single person that has not sinned. Every single person on this planet has sinned. And the wages, the payment for our sin is death. But the beautiful thing is this, the gift of life. We have a gift of life given to us as we believe in Jesus' name. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Interesting. Our Lord. I'm submitting to his rule in my life. The power of Jesus' name. All of us. He's saying, I want to make a way out for you, not just on this side of heaven. I want to make a way out for you on this side of heaven, but I want to make a way out for you for eternity. For eternity. I just say, wow, Lord, that is amazing. His name has not changed. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:17 says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me and saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. I've overcome Hades, hell. I've overcome death. The power of Jesus' name today. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Basically, I willingly surrender. I'm going to come to this planet and live a life. And live a life. I'm willing to do that. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him, Jesus, the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Again, a choice. A choice that you and I have to make before we breathe our last breath. We have a choice to make. What am I going to do with Jesus? What am I going to do with this one that came 2,000 years ago, the most important name that's on this planet at this time? By far. And every single one of us will make a decision. Is he going to be my Lord or not? Is he the one that is able to save me or not? We choose. Let me read again. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All authority has been given to him. Is Jesus able to impact my life? Really, it comes down to where we put him. Do we believe in Jesus or not? Do we surrender and submit to his governance in our life or not? Because this is what Jesus wants for us, is this C part of the equation. A is equal to B is equal to C. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Lord wants to be wonderful in your life. You say, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says, wonderful. Lord, I surrender to you. I believe in you. I believe you came. I believe you lived. I believe you died. I believe you're on the right hand of the Father. I submit to your Lordship. Be wonderful in my life. Let your name, let the reality of who you are, that I would have the wonders of what you have for me in my life, let it be. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Do you ever really want to know what should I do moving forward? What? I don't know. Sometimes we get into a spot and we don't know, do I go to the left or do I go to the right? Which way should I go? A counselor is somebody that would come and say, I want to give you counsel. And the counsel that God would give is the God who knows the end from the beginning. You may say, how is that possible? If we have free will, how can he know the end from the beginning? Simply, he's not confined to time. He's not confined to time. He is. He exists. In the Old Testament, Moses said, who should I say sent me to free the slaves, the Israelites from Pharaoh? Who should I say sent me? And he says, tell him that I am sent you. I am. Not I was or will be, but I am. I always exist. I've always existed. I am sent you. To have a counsel that is good, the one that speaks direction or instruction or life into your existence. I just say, thank you, Lord. You say, Pastor, do you have issues or problems? You better believe I have issues or problems. Have I arrived yet? Nope, I haven't arrived yet. But I'll tell you right now, I thank God that he's taking care. I take his counsel. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Not only is he one that is able to give the counsel, but he is the one that is able to have it carried out in your life as you choose to follow his counsel. If you choose to follow his counsel, he is the mighty God that is able to make sure that it comes to pass. It's not like, oh, I'll give you counsel, and it's like, oh, sorry, that's one thing I can't do now. It's like, no. He is the one that not only is able to give counsel, but to allow it to play out, because he is mighty God. Mighty God. I just say, thank you, Lord. Even in the face of death, to have eternity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. So I haven't seen with my eyes, haven't heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait for what is still ahead. And the things that we know that is ahead, man, the Bible is full of things that are still to come that have not happened yet. All the things that were prophesied to happen that should have happened have happened. I was talking to a man today, and I said, 300 prophecies just about Jesus before he even came. Even the town that he was to be born in, Bethlehem, was spoken hundreds of years before it happened. All these passages have come to be true, and all the things that God has said would happen, that should have happened already, have happened. And the things that are still to happen, it's like, Lord, for us it is good as a follower of Jesus Christ, a believer in Jesus Christ, submitting to his governing in our life. He is able to carry it out. So eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? It says he will be Prince of Peace. Not just the everlasting Father, the one that is eternal and able to keep us forever, but the Prince of Peace. And oftentimes when we think of peace, we think, well, just to have peace of mind. There's also a peace that goes way past that. The word shalom, if you ever heard the word in Hebrews, is shalom. It has to do with completeness, soundness, welfare, and peace. It has to do with safety and soundness in our body. It has to do with welfare, health, and prosperity. It has to do with tranquility and contentment and quiet. It has to do with friendship, of human relationships with God as well, especially with God, to have peace with God, the Prince of Peace, the one that would rule and oversee our peace. Praise God. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sins, to make the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another, to love others, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love them. Hallelujah. Can we just stand together? And even as we close, I just want to pray. And then we have, I think, another song at the end here. And tonight, if you're here and you just say, I don't know about this, can I just say this? Give your life to the Lord. Let him rule in your life. If you don't want to serve him, you don't have to. In fact, the Lord God will allow you to walk away from him. He's not going to control you. You have free will. I would say, give your life to the Lord. So if I could have you just bow your heads, and I want to help you in a prayer. In fact, oftentimes we pray all together, whether we have already given our life to the Lord or not, and we pray all together. And if there's even just one person here tonight, that you would let him be the one that can be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace to you now at this time. So if we could all pray together, Jesus, let's just say together, Jesus, you love me, and you took all of my sin upon yourself and died for me. You took the consequences of my sins, and you died, you were buried, but you rose again. I believe that. You overcame death, hell, and the power of sin. I ask you to come into my life and rule over my life. I give myself completely to you. Let your good and acceptable and perfect will play out in my life. That my life would bring you glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If that's you today for the first time, let somebody else know. Come tell me. Say, you know what, Pastor, I prayed that prayer believing he's going to be with you. In the best of times, in the worst of times, he's going to be with you because he loves you. Lord, I just thank you for this evening, and I just thank you for coming 2,000 years ago, and I pray blessing. I pray the blessing of your name over each and every one. Let the reality of your name come to be in every single person's life here tonight, that you would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Lord, may your name become reality in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen. This time I'm going to call Pastor Alfred and his family to come. And you may be seated as we close the service with a song and a wish of blessing to you at this time.
Pastor Joel here. Thanks again for tuning into this sermon podcast. Just a reminder to come join us 10 a.m. Sundays, either in person or live streamed at lighthouseniagara.com. God bless and have a great day.